The Lord will also help us to catch, to help us after the consecration week like this. From verse 1. Can I go on now? Mark. Everybody knows where Mark is. And he began again to teach by the seaside. I want to emphasize that he was teaching. There's something he was busy teaching concerning the things that pertain to the kingdom. So it means there's something he was trying to let the people understand, and that is what I also want to convey to us this afternoon. He began to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land, and he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, in his teaching, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. There is something he was teaching there. There is something, a principle he wants the people to understand. And it's a principle for better life, for better living. For those of us who claim to come to Christ, I want to believe that we want to follow the Lord. To follow him, there are principles, there are things you must know. And I caught this thing. It is helping me, and I'm sure after a week like this, if you catch what the Lord is trying to show us in this parable, I'm sure it will help us. Hallelujah. Hearken, verse 3. Behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit, that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, he that had ears to hear, let him hear. And anytime the Lord spoke like that, it means there are some people that we hear, but they will never understand. Anytime you see him make that statement, he that had ears to hear, let him hear. There are ears, some people have ears, but they cannot hear anything that pertains to the gospel. They cannot understand, they don't have the ears to receive, hear what is spoken in the gospel. Verse 10. Hallelujah. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, see now, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And this scripture, we have explained it several times, this verse. When he said, unto you, that is those that have the privilege for the parable to be explained to them. He said, unto you, that you have the opportunity to have these things, these parables broken down so you can understand. He said, unto you it is given. Who gave it? God gave it. through the teaching we have spoken about predestination. God's elect. God knows those that are His. God knows those that are just following Him for what they can get from Him. God knows those that love Him with the whole of their heart. God knew Job, that no matter what condition Job will go through, he will never change his mind towards God. Hallelujah. God also knew that Judas will sell him, no matter what glory of God he has seen around the Lord Jesus Christ, that Judas will still sell him, betray him. God knows everything. God knows in the multitude, the mixed multitude that were listening to the Lord Jesus Christ. And now he told his disciples, unto you it is given to know the mystery. But to them who are without, that is, those who are outside the fold of the disciples, he said, it is not given. And so that they will not understand, the things are spoken in parable. Now the evidence that you are among those disciples that they say it is unto you, the evidence is that today the thing will click, bam, you will understand. Amen. Amen. Have you not seen the word of God? We are, whilst we come here every Tuesday and we teach on water baptism, somebody just reading it, after 2 minutes, the thing will click, you will see the congregation and say, yeah, this thing they hear. Hi. He's so excited. Another one will say, huh? Father, Son, Holy Ghost. What did they talk? Bible say, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. This one they talk, waiting. These people, they are heretic. Why do you know it? Why do you accept it and that one doesn't? Because you have ears to hear. This ear is spiritual ear. There are some people that spiritually they are deaf. But they are not dumb. There are some people that are deaf and dumb spiritually. That is, amen. They are the total unbelievers. Total unbelievers. Outside. They don't know God. They don't want to know God. They have no business. God, stay your own. I stay on my own. No problem. As a white man friend of mine that was giving me his testimony, he said, as an unbeliever, he said, several times when they come and say, the Lord Jesus loves you, he said, what have I got to do with that? Let him go his way, I go my way. What is he bothered about me? I don't love, I don't want him. No, Jesus loves you. He said, what have I got to do with that? I said, I don't want him, I don't love him. Let him go his way. Go and tell that you're Jesus. Let him go his way, I go my way. Praise the Lord. They are sincere. Because the day his eyes open to know that Jesus, he's an evangelist now traveling to Nigeria for evangelism. From all the way from America. Now there are some that are deaf, but not dumb. Those ones, they go to church. They are the ones that will come and begin to argue the things that are written in the Bible. You are seeing them. You are preaching all the sermon you are preaching. They are disagreeing with it. They are saying things contrary to the Bible. They are deaf, but they are not dumb. Their mouth is still talking heresy, talking nonsense, arguments. But now, listen, church. You sitting down here today, particularly in Bride Assembly, I always want to believe that nobody comes to a church like this by accident. You must be part of the program of God for this end time. Amen. And that's why I am sure somebody's ear here will be open and you will catch this little, this very little thing the Lord was bringing up from that parable. Now verse 13. And he said unto them, hallelujah. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will you know all parables? That is this little one that is so common. I'm telling you the basic thing. You don't know it. How will you now know the deeper ones? Praise God. Then, amen. He now started his explanation from verse 14. He said, the sower soweth what? The sower soweth what? He soweth the word. And this word that is sown is not the word of man. It's whose word that is sown? Are we together? Whose word? The word of God. The word of God is sown in different soils. It's sown in different soils. Remember, hallelujah, the problem is not the seed that is sown. In that parable, the problem is the soil. The soil that the seed is sown is where the problem is. There are different types. Every seed, hallelujah, every seed has a life inside that is capable of reproducing itself. Every seed. No seed is dead. There's always something in every seed, in every good seed. Praise the Lord. Now listen, church. If he says that the sower soweth the word, and we agree that the word that is sown is the word, the word of God, the Bible tells us, again, using seed to make us understand what is the principle of God pertaining to the spoken word of God. The word that proceeds forth from the mouth of God. Now, if we look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 to 25. If you read it, the word of God is described in that scripture as the incorruptible seed. There is the corruptible seed, that is the seed that can be corrupted. Because there are seeds that when you go to plant them, some insects can enter there and eat up the plant, the seed there. Eat up the life that is in the seed. That is a corruptible seed. Of course, every physical seed is corruptible. It can be corrupted. Every physical seed can be corrupted. But it refers to us that we are born again. Can we read it? Let's read it. 1 Peter chapter 1. Hallelujah. He was admonishing the church. And from verse 22, he says, see, you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Now, verse 23 is the emphasis, describing who you are and how you were born again. Be born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abided forever. He said, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. How did you give your life to Christ? You heard the word of God. If it is genuine word of God that is sown in you, it will produce a genuine fruit. Why do we see the confusion that is going on in Christianity today? Everybody is claiming they are born again. But from the fruit you see, you can know from which type of seed these people claim to be born by. There are people, hallelujah, there are people that are just interested in getting church membership. The type of gospel you will preach to enlarge your church, the type of word you will preach is certainly different from the word you will preach for somebody to be born again. The word of God is so powerful, church. Because the Lord Jesus Christ said, the spirit that the word that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. They are spirit, they are life. Apostle Peter, for instance, in Acts chapter 10, went to the house of Cornelius. Amen. He himself did not know what he was going for. All the angel told him was, go and meet him and explain the things that pertain to the kingdom. Remember, he was a Gentile. And that would be the first experience that Peter will have of a Gentile being converted. Therefore, he didn't know what will happen when he will get to that place. But as he began to explain what salvation is all about, what part Jesus Christ played for us to have life, as he spoke, the Bible said, while Peter yet spake, the Holy Ghost came upon them. Amen. What is it that made the Holy Ghost to come upon them? Was it Peter? Was it Peter? What was it? It was the word that was spoken. It struck the spirit man and it began to work conversion. It brought down the power of God. It made them to open their heart to receive. Until Peter could say, these are Gentiles, quite all right, but they have received the same thing we have received. What stops us from baptizing them? For their own sins too, to be remitted. Praise the Lord. The power. Why? The word of God is incorruptible. If it is sown in the right soil, it will produce the right result. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. The certainty of the power in the word of God. I have my reason for emphasizing it this afternoon. Isaiah 55. Can we open it? Let's catch something. Isaiah chapter 55 is a popular scripture, and if we take it from verse 9, hallelujah, even from verse 8, the Lord says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, said the Lord. Catch it, it's important you catch this. Verse 9, he says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God's thoughts are higher than your thoughts. God's ways, hallelujah, blessed be the name of the Lord. And verse 10 is explaining something here. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. The certainty of the word of God. He used rain to explain it. When rain falls, if there is a ground there to receive it, and there's a seed under that ground, when that rain falls, the rain does not return. It does something wherever that rain falls, and it brings forth seed there, fruit there. He said, that is how the word of God is. The word of God, the word that comes out of the mouth of God, it does not return to him void. And why he added, your ways are not my ways, that is, don't begin to think this thing that God spoke, how will he bring it to pass? Because it is when you begin to reason the word of God, begin to reason, hey, they lay hand upon the sick, the sick shall recover. Wait in them a hand. Wait in their hand. Receive healing. How? He said, your ways are not his ways. Your thoughts are not his thoughts. So, don't bother. Don't even bother to investigate it. Because he said, as the heavens are far from the earth. That is how his ways are far from man's ways. So, don't bother. Hallelujah. Don't bother. To begin, it will, if you can jump far to the heavens there and see what is there, you begin to reason the word of God. Your own is, do it. Just plant it. Do it. Leave it there. Just leave it there. The word of God. So the problem, if you understand what he is trying to bring out here, the certainty of his word is so certain about the power in the word of God that the problem, the only problem, is the soil. Is the soil where that word is planted. And my sermon topic is, which soil are you? There are different soils that the word will be planted. Which soil are you? Isaiah chapter 40. Let's read it. Isaiah chapter 40. Certainty of the word of God. One verse there, and it's a very popular verse. He says, the grass withereth, the flower faded, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Forever. Hallelujah. Psalm 138 verse 2 says that he, God, has magnified his word above all his name. The word of God is so important and precious to God that he magnifies it. He honors it. He cherishes it above all his name. You know him as Jehovah Jireh. You know him as Jehovah Rapha. You know him as Jehovah Savior, Jesus, Joshua. Whichever name you know him, I am that I am. You know him. That is a description of who he is. The name is for identity. Knowing that Jehovah Jireh is a God that provided my needs for me, it's okay, it's good, but there's something higher you need to know. That which he speaks, Jehovah Jireh speaks concerning your provision. He honors that even above what title you have given him. Because the evidence of that identification is the word that confirms it. If it's Jehovah Jireh, he's the God that provides, that is identity. What is his word that enables me benefit him? That is the word he cherishes. And the word that proceeds from his mouth concerning your prosperity, concerning your provision, he cherishes it so much. When he speaks, it does not return to him void. You may know him as the God that provides. Knowing him is not enough. Get to know the word. That is what will help you. Because in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 35, he says, heaven and the earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Hallelujah. Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. If you read it from verse 19, he says, God is not a man that he should lie. That was Balaam, the second oracle of Balaam, when he was told to go and curse Israel. Hallelujah. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. God does not make a mistake. Has he said, and shall he not do it? Or has he spoken and shall he not make it good? Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When he speaks, he ensures it comes to pass. And some of us that are gifted, you need to know this before you stand confidently and say, thus saith the Lord. Anytime you say, thus saith the Lord, that is, a good Christian should stick his neck for it. If you like, kill me. This is thus said the Lord. Micaiah was threatened. Put him in the prison till I come back from this battle. He was so sure. He said, that is if you come back alive. Why? He has received thus said the Lord. When God speaks, hallelujah, don't worry. Just your only problem is be sure it is God that has spoken. If it is God that has spoken, Balaam had that revelation. He's not a man that he should lie. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So, if the word of God is a seed that can be planted, then, hallelujah, to reap something, because every seed you plant, there is a harvest time, there's a sowing time, there's a reaping time. Every word of God that you sow, every word of God that you sow, you expect to reap something out of it. Now, if the word of God is the seed, then the Bible that you hold is a bag containing seeds. Can you lift up your bag of seeds? Let me see you. Amen. No, lift it up. Lift it up. Thank you. Say after me, this is my bag of God's seeds. This is my bag of God's seeds. Say it again. This is my bag of God's seeds. Say it again. Thank you. God bless you. Because that is the word of God. You are carrying a bag loaded with seeds. Amen. And a farmer that has seed, and he has a farm, and he has seed, hypertension does not catch him. All he does is go and plant the seeds and do what a trained farmer is supposed to do. Make sure you pray for the rain to fall. Add manure on top. Hallelujah. A farmer that has seed to plant, hypertension doesn't disturb him. Hunger does not disturb him. Do you understand what I'm saying? Blessed be the name of the Lord. But now, just catch something here. There are 3 points I want to bring up quickly. One, concerning the seed now. If the Bible is the bag full of God's seed, then what is the heart? Now, from my study, hallelujah, your heart, or you want to call it your mind, your heart, it's not the soil yet. Listen carefully. Your mind, your heart is not the soil yet. To me, by my understanding of what the seed of the word of God is, what it means is that if you go to there are places they call nursery for plants. You know what that means? A nursery. If you go around, there are some people that sell flowers. They sell plants. Now what happens is, they wrap this seed, amen, you know, with a nylon, with some soil, to keep it alive. Amen. So, when you come, depends on what plant you are looking for. If you are looking for mango, you take it like that, and go to where you will plant that mango seed. You know, it never grows beyond that small, small level. So the man sits down there. He has all these seeds around him. But none of those seeds there will produce anything for him to eat from. It is still a nursery. It must be taken to the appropriate ground and planted there for it to germinate so that he can eat the fruit or harvest the fruit of it. That is what the human heart is. The more you take the word of God and store them in your heart, you have so far accumulated seeds in your heart. Now, wherever the area of your need is that soil that you are supposed to go and plant that seed. You can have the word of God in your heart. If you don't plant it, that is, you say, I believe in divine healing. I believe in prosperity. I believe in this. I believe in that. I believe in holiness. I believe, whatever it is you believe in, that is, you got the word of God and planted in your heart. That is how it should be. That is where it begins from. As long as that seed is in that Bible, it must be lifted from that Bible and put in your heart. That means you believe. You receive it. You believe. Praise the Lord. You have to understand this, brethren. You believe. Hallelujah. That is the nursery. What are the areas of your need? That is the farm. That is the field that you go to plant that seed. Is it prosperity you are looking for? Go. Hallelujah. To the bag of the seed of the word of God. Read it. Receive it. Believe it in your heart. After that, the evidence that you believe is the action that follows. The word of God says, for you, for instance, to receive, you must also give. To he that giveth, he receiveth. That is for prosperity, for instance. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's, it's for every area of your life. Every area of your life. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Yes, now. Because it says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure. That is Luke chapter 6, verse 38. That is a seed there. It's the word of God. What did he say he should do? He said, give. He said, do what? Give. And it shall be given unto you. Do you believe it? You say, yes. There are so many of you that can quote this scripture. What is Luke 6:38? Everybody will stand up. Give. And it shall be given unto you. Good measure. Pressed down. Shaking together. Running over. Shall men give to you. And with the same measure you met out, the same measure it shall be meted to you. Everybody knows it. That is the nursery keeper. When you go, you tell him, where is, I want flower that, you know, will beautify my frontage like that, like that, like that, like that. Which name? Give him the name, he will go straight to the plant, say, Naim be this. Amen. That's how many of us know the Bible. That's how many of us know the Bible. You know which scripture is for what? You know the scripture for deliverance. You know the scripture for healing. Hallelujah. You know the battles, the scripture for warfare. No weapon of the enemy fashioned against me shall prosper. You know that one. Suffer not a witch to live. That's the most popular scripture. You know that one. By his stripes, I am healed. You know that one. You know it. Where do you know it? It's in the Bible. Isaiah chapter 53 says so. By his stripes, I am healed. You're just like that. But do you believe it? Do you believe it? It's another thing entirely. How do I know? The actions you carry out. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because there must be an action for there to be a reaction. That's the law. It's a scientific law. There must be an action. You want a reaction, there must be an action. You want to receive, there must be an action from you before you can receive. And the action to receive is not to go and say, brother, sleep. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The action, if you want God to favor you financially, the action according to the word of God. There's nowhere in the Bible that says the action is for you to go and wake somebody and beg him for money. That's not the action. There is the action. The action is give. You have to give. The way you want people to do to you, that is how you should do it to them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As you would that men should do to you, so do you also unto men. So that is what I'm saying now. Now, the word of God is not meaningful, it's not useful to you until there is an action. That's why there are so many things that God will tell you to do, especially when you meet a prophet. There are always prophetic actions. For something to happen, there has to be an action to provoke a reaction. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. What you sow is what you reap. And I say, what is the evidence of faith that you believe? It's the action. It's the action you believe. And a perfect example of one who believes is what we see in 2 Kings chapter 4. We cannot read it. Read it from verse 8 on your own. The story of the Shunammite woman. Through Elisha, she received a miracle. Through Elisha, she received a miracle of a child in her old age. A child she didn't pray for. She was not expecting. Hallelujah. In 2 Kings chapter 4, you can start reading it from verse 8. Those are some of the miracles of Elisha. And shortly after, the child fell sick. The child fell sick and died. Now, one will expect that she will shiver. She will shake. She will tremble. Everybody panic. But that woman did not panic. If you read that story very well, a child is dead. That woman was told. Her husband asked her, "What thing happened? Why are you rushing? They should bring me, send to me and ask quickly. Send the servant. You know, why? What is wrong?" What did she say? "It is well." What did she say? "It is well." Even as she ran, she was coming towards Elisha. The man of God still asked her, "What happened?" She still said what? "It is well." What will make somebody say it is well? Your child, your only child is dead. Instead of crying, you are saying it is well. That's faith. That is faith. Hallelujah. Because the Bible says, be careful for nothing, be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplications, make your requests known unto God. That is, anxiety is not part of it. Have confidence that God that gave you that job. Hallelujah. You gave a testimony that God gave you a job. After the testimony, shortly after, they drive you come up for that job. Some of you will curse God. That's why I don't like to give testimony. It's because I give testimony, that's why the thing happened. No. The Shunamma woman, they ask you, you lost your job? Yes. What happened? It is well. But she was going somewhere. She was going back to where she received her miracle. Hallelujah. She was going back to where she received her miracle. She went back to God. You go back to God and leave the matter before Him. As evidence of faith. Now let me give you another evidence of faith. It's in Mark chapter 4. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That same scripture we are reading. Now that last verse there was explaining the last type of soil. Verse 20. And he said, and these are they which are sown on good ground. He says, such as hear the word. Hallelujah. Hear the word. And do what? You have to, after hearing, you must receive it. Amen. You have to hear the word and receive it. If you don't receive it, it will not be useful to you. Receiving it there is believing it. And not just believing it, but acting on it. You have to act on it because evidence that you believe is your action. It's your action. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We see the story of Peter going to fish in Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. And I'll soon close so we can pray. Luke chapter 5. I'll read it from verse 1. Luke chapter 5. It says, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them, and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed with him that he should thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he has finished his sermon, his crusade for that day. He said unto Simon, this is the word now. The word that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a trout. And Simon answering and said unto him, a professional fisherman, master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing, because the best time to catch fish is in the night. Hallelujah. We have done all our best. The mere fact that they have given up is that they were washing their net. They caught nothing, so they are preparing till the next night. We have toiled all night. Amen. And we have caught nothing. But he added, nevertheless, at thy word. Somebody shout, at thy word. Say it again. Say it again. Let this thing ignite something somewhere. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. At thy word, I will let down the net. At thy word. I am not doing it on my own. I don't try on my own. It no work. But now at thy word. Why? Because your ways are not my ways. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. Hallelujah. You are not an ordinary man speaking to me. Your words, they are spirit and they are life. Don't even begin to think of how it will work. Another scripture says, as a woman knoweth not how the fetus in the womb, how the bones grow. Do you know how they grow? Do you even know when they grow? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That is how a man, that is how the ways of God are. You don't know the way of the Spirit of the Lord. Now, verse 6. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And when they had they had this done, when they now did it as according to his word, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net break. And their net break. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Something you did the whole night, you couldn't catch one fish. But this man just came while he was standing there. He said, you are true now. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And when he said God's ways are not man's ways, a professional fisherman knows the best time to fish is in the morning. I mean, in the night. That is according to the wisdom of man. But the wisdom of God is always foolishness to man. He comes very awkward. So, if you are going to reason it, you will never get the fullness of that blessing. Now, he now is coming in the daytime and saying, throw. And the fish, so the fish was about to sink. So much. Hallelujah. I love something Peter said after that. Amen. And they beckon unto, verse 7. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Verse 8. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. That sinful man there is his own way of letting God know, forgive me of my faithlessness. I doubted you. The sin there is the sin of doubt. I doubted you. From now on, anything you do, you say, that I will do. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The same time again, when he resurrected, he repeated the same thing. John chapter 21. John 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter said unto them, I go a fishing. Amen. Hallelujah. They said unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night, they caught nothing. Amen. And something I want to just bring to your attention. When I was reading this scripture yesterday, a thought occurred to me. There's a denomination that has a program around April. They call it Let's Go A Fishing. Who has ever seen that? And this is where they picked it from. Amen. It said, let us go a fishing. There's a denomination that says so. But the Bible says, when they went, they toiled. They didn't get one fish. Hallelujah. Let's go a fishing. See the reason now. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Throughout that night, they caught nothing. Verse 4. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, Children, have you any meal? Have you got any food there for us to eat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, what did he say? Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. Amen. When they went on their own, they caught nothing. And the denominational system are going to fish by their own ideas. They will catch nothing. You can only get church member. You will never get fish. Because if they get through fishes, crime rate will have reduced. Because some of them are the biggest denominations, even in this Lagos. Every street, they have branches there. If their members are really fishes, not church members, will have been seeing something different. Why? Because there is the wrong side to cast the net, and there's the right side to cast the net. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Cast it the way Jesus Christ said you should cast the net, and you will catch the right fishes. Evangelists, if you want to catch fish, catch it at the word of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. You can never catch fish through interdenominational football match. Amen. You can never catch fish by bringing comedians to the altar to make people laugh, to jest. You can't get it like that. You can never catch fish through picnic. You can't. Amen. You can never catch fish through testimonies that instead of glorifying the name of the Lord, what happens? The name of a man is glorified. No. This is how to catch fish. This is, thus said the word of God. If I be lifted up, what will happen? What will happen? I will draw all men unto me. So, the right side of casting the net is lift up the name of the Lord. Lift up the name of the Lord. God does not share his glory with any man. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Lift up the name of Jesus and him alone, him alone, him alone, him alone. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Finally, Luke chapter 1. At thy word. Luke chapter 1. Mary. Virgin Mary. Hallelujah. The angel of the Lord came to her to give her the prophecy of the birth of Jesus Christ. Look at her. She does not know a man. Hallelujah. You know the discussion that followed from verse 34? Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be seen? I know not a man. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. That is the word of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she had also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Now verse 38 is my emphasis. And Mary said, it has never been known before that a virgin conceived, though. It's an impossible thing. If she's to reason it medically, what I say? But see what Mary said. Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy. That's the emphasis there. I don't understand it, though. Man never sleep with me before. How will I be able to have a child, be pregnant? Well, you say with God, nothing is impossible. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, let it be unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Verse 45. Hallelujah. Elizabeth. Anointing struck her as she began to prophesy when Mary met with Elizabeth. Because when John the Baptist in the womb of Elizabeth, hallelujah, just heard the voice of the mother, Mary, carrying Jesus in the womb. Amen. Praise the Lord. The baby John already was having revival inside the womb. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me read it. And it came to pass from verse 41 that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, this is now prophecy. She was under anointing saying this. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And when is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And verse 45 is my emphasis. And blessed is she that believeth. For there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. You have to believe first. If you're a believer of the word of God, the Bible says, you are blessed. You are blessed. I said this, that it's important we catch what I'm trying to share this afternoon. Because I say today is a prophetic day. The life of a Christian is a life of prophecy. When you wake up, you are supposed to be prophesying to yourself. The weapon, one of the weapons in Ephesians chapter 6, hallelujah, he said, put on the whole armor of God. And the last one there is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Hallelujah. Whatever situation you are going through, 1 John chapter 5 verse 14 says, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, hallelujah, before a lawyer wins any case, he goes with his legal documents and begin to quote the relevant laws. Amen. Why does he win? Because he has quoted the relevant law applicable to his petition. Praise the Lord. If you ask anything according to my will, to his will, and his will is the Bible. The truth is, before you begin to pray, you want to ask, is it the will of God for me? Sure, it's the will of God that I should live in divine health. That's the reason he went to the cross on Calvary. Is it the will of God I should prosper? Yes. Financially I should prosper? Yes. Because the Bible says, he who was rich became poor, that through his poverty I might become rich. It's true. The apostle John was praying. Now his prayer for us, I believe that scripture is for us, is that we will prosper. Even as our soul prospers. We'll be in good health, even as our soul prospers. So it's the will of God that we should prosper. Poverty is a curse. It's a curse. It's the will of God that we should live a clean life. A life of righteousness. Hallelujah. That's the word of God. This flesh wants to pull you down. Speak the word of God to this flesh. When brother, you see sister, your body charge. Say it. Don't you know you are the temple of the Holy Ghost? And the Spirit of God dwell in you. If you defile the temple of God, him, God will destroy you. If you quote that scripture, you will be discharged immediately. You say you are charged. you will discharge. Praise the Lord. That's the truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see a bottle of Odeco stout. Your mouth begin water. The thing is cold, chilly cold. Hallelujah. Should the branch go to be a palo? Know ye not, drunkards, we have their part in hell. Hallelujah. Drunkards go to hell. That's it. Where are you want to go to heaven? Speak to that body. Amen. You know, I told you something. The advantage of this week, I emphasized it throughout the whole 4 days. I said that if you want area for you to discipline this flesh, to subject this flesh, one of the areas is through fasting. If you are able to tell your body between 6 o'clock today and 6 in the morning to 6 in the evening, I will not eat, I will not drink water. I want to fast. Remember, there will be battle all through the day. That is when you will smell food that you like so much. That is when you even hear brethren telling you, brother, every time, fast. It's grace. And that is when suddenly you develop ulcer. That is the time your stomach will begin to pain you. That's when your stomach begin to pain you. This morning, I was having serious stomach pain. Very serious one. And I was wondering, what did I eat yesterday? Nothing. What is happening? And it was remaining about 5 minutes or so for me to come and take over. It was still very painful. I mean, very painful. I was finding it even difficult to stand. I remember the head deacon came. He saw me beating my stomach. He said, what is wrong? I said, I don't know. Serious pain here. And he said, began to prescribe what I should take. Go and take, waiting. Take this one. I told him, I said, no, we are fasting. He said, no, be fool, be this now. I said, no, we are fasting. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, since I took over to sing, I've not felt the pain again. I've not felt the pain again. Amen. I didn't pray. Because before I pray, I didn't think where. Before I pray, when I'm sick, I want to make sure. Did I eat anything yesterday? No. The water I drink, is it contaminated? So that I will know whether this one is spiritual or not physical. No, it's true. You don't just, I bind you, Satan. And true, no be Satan. Now bad water where you drink. Amen. Hallelujah. Pray according to God's will. There's a young man here. He's always sitting in front. I've not seen him today. His wife brought his very fine daughter, beautiful daughter. The daughter was, life was going. You know, somebody, she could not even stand. A little baby like that. You know, could not stand. The neck could go like this. The limbs were going like this. He said, for night, now attack, they come. This one. I grabbed this child. I prayed. I said, bring this child every service day you come. Let me see this child. Let's see who is stronger, God or Satan. I prayed 3 times. The baby was getting worse. I said, sister, wait. If this thing is spiritual, 3 times prayer, this thing is supposed to have gone. I said, have you taken this child to the hospital? She said, no, this is spiritual. I said, thank you. Even spiritual, they manifest physically. So, let us know. Go back to the hospital. Go to a pediatrician. Go to general hospital. Go, especially in children. She came back to me and told me, she went. And the doctor examined the child, said nothing is wrong with the child. Anyway, to cut the long story short, you know what the child was suffering from? Malnutrition. Because of their health condition, they were not, I mean their financial condition, they were not giving the child the right food to eat, and the child was dying. And me, Adeya said, I bind you. Who am I binding? So when the mother came back the next day, 2 days after, the baby was already strong. I said, which was disturbing your picking? The woman started laughing. Pastor. Pastor. No food. Hallelujah. Amen. So me too, I contributed my own money. I said, go and buy better food. Now the baby is back to life, jumping up and down. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I was watching a documentary on the television when one mother, a young girl, that had a child, though she was not staying with the husband, this single mother thing, the baby died. In America, they had to make investigation. What killed this baby? And they discovered that she was not producing enough breast milk. And she was told to give some other supplement or so. She refused. She was not feeding the baby well. And the baby died. The law condemned her, found her guilty of murder. Anyway, that is civilized society. In Nigeria here, they will say, now which? Now my mother-in-law. Now my mother-in-law. Before you bring your pikin for deliverance, make sure you dey give her SMA gold. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Pray according to the will of God. Don't just start prayer. Sit down, think first. What is the will of God concerning this thing? And you may not know any Bible, you may not know any other scripture, but there's a scripture that says, if I ask him to do anything for me, he will do it. There were two scriptures that I knew when I gave my life to Christ newly. By his stripes I am healed. And if I ask him to do anything for me, he will do it. I was satisfied with that for my health and for my other areas of my need. Amen. Are we ready to pray this afternoon? Do that and change your life from today. Anything you sow in that area, something will come out of it.